This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Oh my God.
It's terrible.
Oh my God, Ryan.
I had to buy a blood pressure cuff just for the game.
It's terrible and it was amazing all at the same time, which I don't even know what to make of any of this, Ryan.
I mean, it was the quintessential Buffalo Bills experience. One could and would and have said. But it doesn't mean that my body is built for it, my psyche is built for it.
You know what's weird about it? It's Let's Go Duffalo, the Odyssey app, where you get your podcast. He's Ryan Duffy.
Hi.
I am Pat Duffy. We are having some technical difficulties, which is why we are here now, and you can hear it in Ryan's microphone. We'd like to apologize. Looks like we are going back to the live in-person situation next week. Is that the plan?
Yeah, that's 100% the plan.
That's 100% the plan.
This is bull hockey.
If you wouldn't buy such cheap equipment, this wouldn't be a problem.
I stole this microphone from you.
Yeah, it's cheap equipment. I bought that microphone like 15 years ago. I can't even believe it plugs into a computer.
It's a Rode microphone, and I'm pretty sure it was part of the Rodecaster.
No, it definitely was not. It was definitely not part of my Rodecaster. It's a high end piece of equipment. Okay, look, it doesn't matter. We're arguing about stupid stuff. Your Buffalo Bills. Here's what is
stupid stuff.
Let's start right off the bat with this feeling I've had all week that I can't shake.
What's that, Patrick?
You said that was the quintessential Bills game experience, and you're absolutely right. But what is different about...
One has said that.
What's different about this one as opposed to other quintessential Bills game experiences?
Mm-hmm.
We normally lose that game.
Yes, agreed.
I can't think... I mean, like, you have the greatest comeback which happened in that stadium, and I know there's a handful of other games where they just came roaring back, and it was, like, unbelievable. But normally, after those games are over, we are talking about the valiant effort they put in a defeat because it was just too far gone, or the quarterback on the other team made enough plays where what can you do? They won that effing game, Ryan.
Now, don't get me wrong. There have been a few different examples, two main ones, both out of the AFC North opponents, to where that has not been the case, to where the Bills have actually ended up winning the game this season alone. However, I do agree with you that, like, oftentimes those closely fought, even if the Bills didn't play their best at the beginning of the game, it comes down to the end of it, and the Bills just don't have enough juice to get the win. I think of Minnesota a few years ago at home. I think of whether it was mistakes or whatever the case, those close games.
The Rams last year. I mean, the Rams last year,
Bucks a few years ago.
Yeah, Buccaneers is another good one.
Yeah, like, I mean, even you can even say the Hail Mary during the COVID year. Like, there's a lot of examples where those close games come back and or come to their end, and the Bills come away with a loss. It is fantastic to come out of that with a victory. It's almost like an emotion that I'm not, like, used to or prepared to feel, you know, of, like, this relief of, like, oh, thank God that's over. Because otherwise, I'm normally just used to feeling, like, let down.
I agree with you. All right, do me a favor. Just see if we can turn your mic down a little bit, and I'll turn you up over here so you're not so overmodulated. Don't get frustrated with me. It's your microphone, my friend.
I have not changed one thing.
Keep going down
since the last time.
Keep going down. Okay, because the less we hear of you, the better the show is, I think.
Sounds good.
Okay, let's see if that makes it sound any better. All right. Anyway, so, like, you know, I am a firm believer in three plays dictate how a game turns out.
Oh, yeah.
And in this game, there were like 19 plays that dictated how that game turned out, because you can't have any of the plays without any of those other plays. And I know the play that everyone wants to talk about is Christian Benford's what might end up being a season-saving interception, and we will get to that in a second. But I would argue that the most important play of that game is one that will not be remembered, and it is the 3rd and 15 with a minute something left. Josh Allen scamper for a first down. And let's break this.
You think that's the play that's the standout one that people aren't remembering?
All right, now I'm going to make this argument and come along with me. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm strapped in.
Look, you look at all of the amazing plays that happened in that game, and you got Josh's 40-yard touchdown run. You got the interception by Benford. You got Big Jordan Phillips. By the way, that signing worth it just for that hand on that ball that Epinesa comes
that
down
one
with.
Alone, for that play alone, I'm with you. You should let him wear that down parka jacket on the field. It doesn't matter. Let him wear whatever he wants. And if he's going to get up and bat a ball like that, go for it.
All right, so then you have both fourth down touchdowns. That pass to Khalil Shakir with both of the defensive backs, how he squeezed that's one of the greatest throws in NFL history, no hyperbole.
That is the play that I think, to me, is the one that people are going to forget about, but please continue.
All right, so the play calling on that final offensive drive I would like to talk about, because I knew I was going to hate this as soon as the drive starts. You run Cook. Timeout Bengals. They got one timeout left. Mm-hmm. You back up to pass. Josh loses, 11 yards? Because, I mean, well,
something like that.
Well, maybe like eight or nine yards, whatever he lost, right? You are 3rd and 15. The smart play is to run the ball, tick it down to whatever it would have been, like a minute, a little more than a minute, punt the ball 7 seconds. They're going to get the ball back with like 30 to 40 seconds on their own 20-yard line. That's probably how it's going to work out with Cincinnati, right?
And one timeout.
You got it. So, they had no timeouts because they couldn't stop. Did they have a timeout left?
No, they had. Well,
they may have had a timeout left. It doesn't matter. Look, all right. On 3rd and 15, the smart play is to run that ball and play defense. That is what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
Yep. When he backed up to pass, I was screaming at my television because everyone knew what was coming. You were going to swing out Ty Johnson. You were going to throw him a short, undroppable pass that did not stop the clock, which, by the way, there's no guarantee there because they're coming after Josh Allen. They know what's coming, too, and they also have to protect against the run, so they're going to run blitz there. The play is covered. Josh glances immediately at Ty Johnson. It's not there. And he takes off. And I am going to give you my exact quote as I was watching this, right, from beginning to end. Are you ready?
All right. No. Yes.
That's exactly what it was. Snap, what are you doing? Damn it. No, wait. Oh, no. Oh, my God. That is everything I said in the, like, what he was able to do, juking that safety in the open field, not dropping his shoulder, getting that first down, that is the play that wins you that game, both literally and figuratively. That's the one that gets forgotten, and you do not win that game without that play. You don't.
I think there's a very strong chance that they lose that game without that play. Because at what point, like, what was the score? They were down by five. They were up by five.
Up by five, yes,
point,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So it's not even a matter of Evan McPherson kicking an extra point to take it to overtime. That is the Bengals can go down and score a touchdown to walk off the Bills at that point.
I mean,
I think there's a strong chance that the Bills lose that game if not for that particular play.
Bro, now in that moment, as Josh is dropping back, I am having flashbacks to Monday Night Football, Dallas Cowboys. you know, we stop them on a two-point conversion. All we got to do is recover the onside kick, and then what exactly what you described happened. Which reminds me, and I know I want to get to your, you want to get to your thing, but I want to talk about this sequence. The Bengals not onside kicking in that situation is insane to me. The conditions
after they scored their touchdown, after, go down by five.
Yes, after they missed the 2-point conversion, I was horrified of an onside kick because the conditions could not have been better for an onside kick. It is snowy. It is slippery. Nobody has their footing. People are dropping balls all over the place. You have Josh effing Allen, who has converted 2 fourth downs for touchdowns. What? 4 out of 6 fourth downs, 4 out of 5 fourth downs in that game. He's run for a 40-yard touchdown. You are going to put the ball back in his hands. By the way, if Josh Allen can't do it, you also have arguably the best running back in the league right now, and James Cook back there looking to run the clock down. What the hell were they thinking playing defense there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I didn't even think about it at the time. I was just so jacked up and terrified of what could potentially go wrong for the Bills there. But you're absolutely right. Like, I'm surprised that they didn't take the or go for the onside kick there. The weather was in their favor. As the offensive team, you know where you're going to, where your target assignment is, right? Like, the ball is going to be kicked in an area, and you are going to be going to a particular area, right? As the defender, you have to inherently react, right? Like, you just have, you have to be the one to react to something that is like that's impossible to react to, and then add in the snow on the ground and everything there. Like, yeah, I feel like you would, it would be much more advantageous for you to try to kick a an onside kick there, but you know, you didn't, and we win.
Okay, but
sucks to suck.
But go into your moment, right? The moment that you say defines the game. It is 4th and 10
goal.
No, it wasn't 4th and goal. It was definitely, it was, I think it was like 4th and 4, 4th and 5. It was a decent clip, right? The Bills are down 14-3. The Bills are in the second quarter there. Mm-hmm. You believe that pass to Khalil Shakir is what wins them the game in the first quarter, second quarter.
I think that that's the play that's going to be unsung and forgotten the most because, one, it happened early in the game, but two, because it happened early in the game, and it's going to get lost in the mix of all these other fantastic plays that happen both offensively and defensively. But if you think about it, and like what made me realize this too was the sideline view that Sean McDermott had. There was some kind of
I saw that.
Yeah. Like to see it all happen in such real time, if one, for him not to be like the whole time on the sideline.
Do you see? He leans back when Josh lets that ball go. He's like, and then all of a sudden he collects himself again.
It was honestly, the guy's got ice water running through his veins, in my opinion. But to see all that happen in real time, live, like it at full speed, is crazy to me and gives me such a higher appreciation for what these players go through. But for Josh to be able to keep that play, to stretch that play like twice over, and then be able to fit that ball into Khalil Shakir on 4th down for a touchdown at a point where you cannot physically stop the Bengals offense, it would have been the wild card game all over again, where they go up by 3, or they go up to 21, and the Bills are at 3 or 6 points, whatever it was, and like you're playing from behind the whole time, and it changes the game plan entirely. That is the play that I think is going to be forgotten, and what I think ultimately, I'll say it, wins them that game. If they don't get that play there, it's a completely different way that that game unfolds.
Well, look, I mean, we're burying the lead the entire time, and I respect your passion for that play. I appreciate what Josh did on 3rd and 15, but the fact of the matter is, the play of the game, the play that wins that game, is Christian Benford's interception on Joe Burrow. And I would like to point out one unbelievable statistic. Are you ready for this?
Please. Fire away, my friend.
We know that Joe Burrow is undefeated. He's 2-0. And even that DeMar Hamlin game against Buffalo, and even in that DeMar Hamlin game, you know, the Bengals are looking very good, and the Bills, are having trouble stopping them. Joe Burrow had never thrown an interception in 2.5 games against the Buffalo Bills. He had never thrown an interception, ever. He threw back-to-back interceptions in that fourth quarter. He threw interceptions on back-to-back plays. And here's the thing. I will make this argument. Joe Burrow's stat line is amazing. He was 25 of 36 for 284. He had 4 touchdowns, which doubled up the total amount of touchdowns he had against the Bills in those 2.5 games. Like you said, he was unstoppable. He was only sacked once on a great disguised blitz call from Sean McDermott there. I mean, how that ball didn't come out when Benford hit him.
I was going to say, like, I feel like it, if that was regular footing and like Christian Benford didn't have to like be very measured in his steps so that he didn't trip over himself, that ball is coming out. But like, I watched that replay over and over and over thinking the exact same thing of like, how did Joe Burrow hang on to that ball? And one, it did come out a little bit, but I think if Benford had a full head of steam and just, you know, just saw red, or in that case, orange and black, like, yeah, that ball is coming out, blindside hit. That is a Aaron Rodgers, Joey Bosa served up in back-to-back weeks.
All right, my argument right now is that Joe Burrow played the greatest game in the history of the NFL that a quarterback has ever played that lost them a game. Because Joe Burrow is the only reason the Bengals lost that game. If he does not throw those two interceptions, he gave up two touchdowns in interceptions. Those were not drop balls by wide receivers. He threw it into Benford's hands. That's his fault. And it's, I know it's slipping out of his hand, but that's your fault. And the
it's not slipping out of his hands. He shot put it because of the read that he saw Jamar Chase wide open by himself because Benford was coming out on the blitz. Like, he knew that he had no time. That is a calculated decision of him just being like,
yeah, well,
and then obviously it gets picked off.
I mean, look, if he eats that ball, if he takes a sack on that play, the Bengals win the game. It's a fact. They're on the Bills.
Yeah.
Bro, they're on the Bills 30. He takes a sack at like the 36. You're going to get a field goal shot if you don't move any further, which is insane. And they're probably going to score a touchdown on that drive. If they score any points on that drive, they are eating up another couple of minutes, and the game's over. The game is over.
It obviously, hindsight's 20/20. If he dirts the ball at Benford's feet and takes a grounding penalty, they win that game.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't play out the way that it ended up playing out. I don't know if that's hubris of like Joe Burrow thinking like, I got this, or if that is just like a, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, get rid of the ball, like real quick, like instinctual decision. Could be. Yeah, you can go back and dissect that whole thing and his perspective on it 1,000 different times. Obviously, the way that it worked out is what swung the game entirely for the Bills.
I also am starting to, I don't know if I love or hate this, right? The Bills are going down in the turnover battle early in every game they play. But against Pittsburgh and against Cincy, they have managed to win the turnover battle in the second half. And I can't tell if it's pure luck or if that is a defense that is managing to take advantage of opportunities that are given to them.
I mean, yeah, I see your point. I think like, well, the turnovers in the first half of the last two games, namely with James Cook, like they have to be addressed and you have to.
Okay, that's such like coach speak, though. Like, how do you address it? Like, what do you do? You're not going to sit him down. He's the best running back in the NFL right now.
You don't try. Of course you don't sit him down. And of course, like, not from that kind of perspective, but like, I don't know, having a conversation with him, like,
hey, don't drop the ball.
Well, no, don't drop the ball, but like make it a focal point when you're running. Like, I don't know. What am I, running backs coach?
Running
like,
backs?
All I know is that running backs coach. I don't know. Just keep it in mind. Maybe that would be helpful. But also too, like, I think it comes down to the Bills, just like you said, taking advantage of opportunities that present themselves. Like everyone. And I think it's a good reminder to all Bills fans that like, all it takes is one freaking play, man. One freaking play, and you are back in it. You know, like, we were one freaking play away in week one against the Ravens, and that swung it, and we won that game. We were one freaking play away from, you know, in Houston and getting that first down and kicking the field goal to win the game.
I mean, look,
even scoring a touchdown to win the game.
Gabe Davis is a foot away. He's a foot away on that play from winning the game there.
All it takes is one freaking play. It's not over till it's over. And you need to know that going in, because, and I'm saying that more to myself too, because going through that whole first half, same with the Steelers game last week, that whole first half, I'm like, oh, golly, here we go again. Gee Willikers, I'm going to have a bad week because I hate it when the Bills lose and I'm not going to watch any football and I'm going to stay inside for the entire week until Thursday. Like, no, all it takes is one moment to swing and you're right back in it. And I think everyone needs to keep that in mind.
All right, I'm going to take this moment to fanglow because you reminded me of something that happened during the game.
Sure.
All right, because you mentioned that you've been really, like, you know, we brought this up last week, that you've been Mr. Negative about the Bills recently after you've given me crap for being a realist fan.
Crap. You've been giving me crap for being a realist fan.
Okay.
You're crap.
You thought the game was over when James Cook fumbled the ball in the two.
No, I did not think the game was over when James Cook fumbled the ball on the two.
I don't know. The text messages you were sending me indicated that you believe.
You know what? I'm gonna jump the shark for you. I said ball don't lie.
You did.
I said ball don't expletive lie.
Yeah, no, you said expletive ball don't lie. And I texted back to you in that moment. The Bills are going to win this game.
Good for you.
I knew the Bills were moving that ball too well, and I knew that there was going to be a mistake made. I mean, the Bengals have been playing mistake-free football. You do not play a mistake-free football game. There was never a moment in that game where I thought the Bills were going to lose that game. Never.
Let me clarify my ball don't lie stance. Because James Cook dodged the biggest of bullets, a giant, you know, foot and a half oblong brown pig-skinned bullet, on the two plays before when he tried to reach for the pylon and fumbled the ball right before it went out of bounds. Like that would have been the exact same outcome that happened two plays later. That's what I'm saying. When he ends up fumbling into the end zone, mm-hmm. because the Bills got lucky on that play. They 100% did. The Bengals were on the bad bounce of that play. And then two plays later for him to fumble into the end zone right before he crosses the plane, mm-hmm. and then the Bengals recover it in the end zone, that's what I'm saying.
Look at me. Look at me right now. Look at me right now.
Look. You're ugly. I see you.
You didn't think the game was over right there.
No, I didn't think the game was
Why
over.
You lie?
I knew what I'm saying that I know. I
Why
know
you lie?
Ball no lie.
Why you
Ball
lie? Lie? You lie I so hard. Lie. You lie so hard.
Am I
so
not lying?
You lie.
I don't. I tell the truth. I tell truth. You can shake your head all you want.
Okay. I would also, speaking of James Cook, I would like to present a maybe scary theory to Bills fans.
Will you stop burping and hiccuping into the microphone?
I can't help it. I'm full of...
I can smell it from here.
I'm full of salad.
The information superhighway.
I'm full of salad and caffeine-free Diet Coke. Yeah, I'm just drinking it. I'm just drinking it for the campaign. You should try it sometime.
Hooker salad in my belly. Look at the Kissy Salad.
Stupid.
You brought up James Cook fumbling on back-to-back touches, right?
I sure did.
So that's a thing that we are not accustomed to. He had a bit of a case of fumbleitis early in his career, but the last 2 years he's taken care of it. The guy just did not lose fumbles. So he's fumbled the ball four times in the last two games, losing two of them.
Two fumbles.
Is it possible that is a result of how much James Cook is being used and how much his body is being hit?
I have heard that theory. I think I heard a stat today I don't know the numbers, but it was from the Locked On Bills podcast.
Yeah, you should listen to them. They have much better equipment. Are you looking up the stat and just stop talking while we're doing the podcast?
No, I did not. No,
you just stopped talking.
The same thing happened last week. I ended up here with an ad played on a website that
God,
I have
you're an
up.
Idiot.
And I wasn't sure if you could hear it or not, so it's probably just dead air. All I'm saying is that James Cook, by the end of the first quarter next week, or like this coming Sunday, is going to hit his total carries that he had all of last season with three or four games to go. So, yeah, I can understand that, like, maybe he's being overutilized, but, like, I don't know. Is that how running backs work? Where it's like once you pass the threshold, it's like oopsie daisy, I just can't hang onto the ball anymore.
All right. So there's something that stands out in my head. Like when, a couple of years ago, before Fred Jackson retired, we had him on the show on CMF, and we were talking about the beating that running backs take, and he was very candid, mm-hmm. and he wasn't bragging. He was just talking matter of fact. So he had told us that, you know, as the season goes on, he has a hard time. He had a hard time like walking around for like 2 days after a game was over, right? Like if he didn't get into the facility and get like treatment, he was having a hard time just moving. He said it felt like his body had been in a car accident hours before until like Friday or Saturday. And that was just standard operating procedure. I think what people don't appreciate when it comes to running backs is James Cook doesn't take a lot of dead on hits. He's really shifty. He gets down, right? But he's still getting popped by 300-pound men and rock-solid 250-pound muscle men that are running at him at 4.3 speed on every single play.
As the great Buffalo Bills legend Marshawn Lynch would say, he's getting hit in his Mocha Choka face over and over and over and over and times 25 over again.
Look, we both boxed, right? Like, you know, when you're getting hit in the shoulders and the arms, that your arms get tired and your shoulders get tired. And it's not even an exhaustion thing. Like, your muscles just don't have the ability to stay where they're supposed to be. So I am genuinely curious, with all the shots that he's taken throughout the year, does he just not have the physical strength in him to hold the ball the way that he was holding it in the first 10 weeks of the season? And it's a pretty big fear for me, Ryan.
And I will say, like, yeah, like when I was boxing, I remember, like, getting hit in the shoulder at, like, over and over and over, even after I said, stop it, ow, and they just kept doing it. It was terrible.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, I mean, you make a good point. I've never thought of it that way. I'm looking at this as, you know, John Q. Public watching James Cook being like, hang on to the ball, man. But you're right. Like, I mean, it's a brutal game and a brutal position to be playing on top of that. It wouldn't be so far out.
I mean, maybe we should try your idea. Maybe we should try your idea of just simply telling him not to fumble the ball.
Please don't fumble the ball, James.
Okay.
Listen. Don't do it.
All right. So I want to wrap up this discussion like this. We have become, all right, maybe numb is the wrong idea, but we become accustomed to Josh's heroic antics, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I just made the argument that Joe Burrow had the best game in NFL history for a quarterback that lost his team the game. I would like to pivot now to Josh Allen, and I think that was the best game we've ever watched Josh Allen play in his career.
Really?
And here's why. So I'm gonna kick it off with the stat line. You ready?
Yep.
In that weather.
Wait. Okay, go.
In that weather, with his receivers being Gabe Davis, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Tyrell Shavers. Those are his receivers. He went 22 of 28 for 251 yards.
Yeah, he did.
He missed on 6 throws all game.
Yeah, he did.
He took 3 sacks in that game, and they scored 39 points. He did not turn the ball over. He had 4 total touchdowns. 2 of those touchdowns on pressure-packed 4th downs. Every single possession the Bills had mattered. There were
3 sacks.
What's that? Yeah, that's what I said, 3 sacks.
Oh, I thought you said 6.
No, 3 sacks.
Okay.
Every single possession that they had mattered. Every time he needed a play, he got it, and he did not make a mistake that cost him the game. Let me put it this way. He played loose in the ass, as I like to say, wild as hell when he needed to.
He's out there playing real loose in the ass.
He's playing loose in the ass, man. I mean, think about how hard it is to go buck wild when
the loose in the ass?
When it shows up.
It's not hard when you're loose in the ass.
I mean, look, Ryan, he did not make a mistake on the most pressure-filled. There were 5 plays for the season on offense, and he hit all of them. He hit all of them. Did not throw an interception, did not cough up the ball, did not wilt under pressure in a weather game against a quarterback you have not beaten. Ryan, that was the greatest game we've ever watched Josh Allen play up to this point.
I mean, he gave him a little bit of love tap on that loose ass right there. Yeah, I don't doubt that. I think, though, that game will. Here's the thing. I don't doubt the impact and meaningfulness of that game and Josh Allen's performance within. I think, though, that you are going to get trumped by the divisional round in Kansas City in 2022, or 2021, whatever, why 21. You're going to get trumped by, Josh Allen playing the literal perfect game against the New England Patriots in the wild card round, and possibly a handful of other ones, like mainly against the Dolphins, probably.
Okay, but like, I would argue that he had way more talent around him in those games. I would argue that.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, there is context and there is nuance. I think that this game deserves to be in the, especially depending on how the season ends for the Bills, whether that's in Santa Clara or any time before. like, yeah, this game could be really go down, and it could really go down in the books as far as like meaning and impact.
Even taking the impact out of it, I'm talking about just pure straight up performance. What is on the line? The history between these two teams, Ryan. His leading receivers. You ready for this? I'm gonna go down the line. Dawson Knox, with the husk of Dawson Knox, 6 reception for 93 yards. Dalton Kincaid on a bad knee and a bad hamstring, 4 for 41 and a touchdown. James Cook, 2 for 31. You don't get to a wide receiver until the fourth leading receiver, and it's Gabe Davis, 2 for 21. The leading receiver, wide receiver on this roster, had 21 yards receiving. Shakir had 16. Coleman had 16. Shavers had 16. And then there's no more receivers that got any targets. Ryan, he won that game throwing the tight ends and running backs and running the ball himself. It's unbelievable.
Okay, I agree with you. I understand there. But also, too, you have to remember how bad, historically, the Bengals' defense is against guarding tight ends.
Okay.
And I think by extension out of like backfield or passers out of the back, out of the backfield.
Oh, what were you saying about me burping in the microphone?
I had a hiccup. But so when you see Dawson Knox leading the team at 93 yards, when you see Dalton Kincaid pulling in a touchdown, you see Jackson Hawes, which for the record, bang, called that baby loud and clear on the last podcast. You see him going for a touchdown on top of that, too. Like the easiest one ever. Did you see him just standing there like, me?
Yeah, I love how you call it the easiest one ever. The play fell apart. It's fourth down. If they don't have it, the Bengals are going to go down and score and take the lead. And oh, here's an easy touchdown to Jax. Shut up, Ryan.
It doesn't matter. Like, of course, sure, the play. But, like, Jackson Hawes is just standing there, like, just sitting right at the goal line. Just like, I'm here. I'm ready for you.
But let me counterpoint this. When you talk about, you know, the Bengals defense is historically bad against tight ends. The Bengals played the Baltimore Ravens the week before. They have a running back in Derrick Henry that can catch the ball out of the backfield. They have one of the best tight ends in the NFL in Mark Andrews. They scored 16 points. Like, I get what you're saying, but it's not like, you know, everybody has been running through them. That's a potent offense, and I know they have their problems right now, but it's not like the Bills don't. Lamar was not able to take over that game. Josh Allen was. It's the best performance I've ever seen with my eyes on Josh Allen.
Yeah, fair point. I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong. And I think, too, like there's a lot of context, I think, that goes into it, whether it's the weather, whether it's the matchup, whether it is, just the circumstances and how the game ended up unfolding. But there's no doubt, like, if the Bills lost this one, I don't know if that would immediately would have ceded the division to the Patriots. I know that, like, not to spoil it, but, like, if the Bills lose to the Patriots, or if New England wins this weekend against the Bills, they've locked up the AFC's crown. Like that's all she wrote. I don't know if the Bills losing on Sunday would have automatically given.
Well, no, because the Patriots still could have lost out. It would have been a 3-game lead with 4 games to go. They still could have done it.
Gotcha. Okay. So, but even so, like all I'm saying is that like the Bills needed this game just as much as I would argue more, but it was just as important to the Bills to win this game as it was to the Bengals regarding playoff hopes. And yeah, I mean, I think this is the start of a wonderful rest of the season.
Wait, all right. So with the stadium coming to an end here, we've been seeing a bunch of teams. Shut up. Like, you know, the all-Highmark team, the all-Bills offense team, the all-50th anniversary team. We've been seeing these things over and over again. But some news that happened since the last time we talked. I think it's time for us to put together another team that you don't want to be a part of if you are a Buffalo Bills person.
Oh.
And that would be the all-never-played-a-game-for-them team. Because we have another person to add to this team. And I have to imagine that in the history of the NFL, the Bills far and away lead the league in the amount of players that have done this. And we'll get to it next. Let's go, Duffalo, the Odyssey Abbey Beach Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
I mean, look, the way everything worked out on Sunday, it doesn't hurt us as bad as we think. Although it is pretty embarrassing, not only for the franchise, but for one member of the front office.
That being said,
I can't imagine there is another team in the NFL that has dealt with a quarter of the amount of these situations that we've seen just in the last 15, 20 years in Western New York.
I think that this whole experience makes me want to do a deeper dive into the whole thing. But I think maybe just because we're close to the Bills and we understand what's going on here with more detail than other teams, I can't argue with you. I think this happens way more to us than it does for other teams, and for understandable reasons.
Well, no, it's not understandable. This is not understandable.
For not so invalid reasons.
All right,
let's go, put it that way.
Let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey app, baby, get your podcast. In a little while, we'll find out what's making Ryan sad, and I think you're right. We have officially jumped the shark with end-of-stadium products.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only is this silly, it's gross if it's what it really is, what they say it is.
Yeah, what?
Why would I want this?
What are you talking about?
All right, we'll get to
Whose dumbass idea was this?
We'll get to it in just a little while here. Let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey app. All right, so last time we got together, we were talking about the impact that the newest Buffalo Bill may be making on this defense, and that was corner Darius Slay. He was
Slay Queen.
Released by the Steelers, and he was released by the Steelers because he and the Steelers sat down and they had a discussion, and he said he wanted to play at a place where he would get more playing time. So the Steelers, you know, being kind, having already paid him essentially all the money they were going to have to pay him all season and not dressing him, said, okay, here's your release. So surprisingly, Brandon Bean jumps in, snaps him up. They have to release, why am I blanking right now?
Jamarcus Ingram.
Thank you, Ingram. UB guy, a guy who plays teams for the Bills, a guy who has filled in some pretty big moments when they needed him the last couple of years. And we thought, you know, on this show, I said, look, Jamarcus Ingram will just be picked up on the practice squad the next day. Au contraire, the Texans jumped in, claimed him off a waiver, so they lost Jamarcus Ingram. But you get an NFL vet, he's going to help you for the rest of the year, everything's fine. And as we know, that's not how it happened.
What happened?
Okay. The explanation from Darius Slay as to why he was not going to report to Buffalo bothers me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because.
Do tell.
All right. So, for those who haven't seen, and I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know by now, he says that he realized he was too old to go start again in another NFL city. And he said, with all due respect to the Bills, I'm paraphrasing, you know, it's a great team. They look like they're going to the playoffs. He just didn't have it in him at his age to go do it, which is interesting because this is exactly what you asked for from the Steelers and they gave it to you.
Right. I'm happy that go with God, go do your thing.
No, I'm whatever. Pissed. No,
but I'm happy that the Bills, at least as the week has progressed, in my opinion, at least, have come out with less egg on their face with this whole thing than what had happened originally.
How so?
Because the Bills, mainly general manager Brandon Bean, has taken quite the lashing on social media and from fans over what a dumb move this was. Why didn't you contact Slay beforehand to be like, are you interested in playing? Why didn't you talk to his agent beforehand, which is Drew Rosenhaus, by the way, who's like everybody's agent. So like, of course there's a relationship there and they're familiar with each other, Brandon Bean and Drew Rosenhaus. Like all of these different like harebrained cockamamie excuses of like, oh man, like why wouldn't he do this, when the reality is, just like you said, Darius Slay wants to go to a place where he's going to get more playing time. This is outward, this is what he's projecting out. He wants to go to a different place because he's not getting the playing time in Pittsburgh. You get picked up on waivers by a team who has been for the last 5 years the division champion and is still knocking on the door and likely going to make a playoff spot or make the playoffs and will continue to play into the
yeah,
postseason.
Yeah,
you are going to a team that has Josh Allen, the reigning MVP, on like as the quarterback. What player in their right mind would be like, nah, I'm good?
Well, look, everybody knows.
I'll tell you who tried to use the waiver wire and the getting out of his contract to go to a specific place,
sure,
that being Philadelphia, and it backfired on him, and now he is the one who is now like basically not going to play at all because he didn't get to go to where he wanted to go.
Sure, no, look, I mean, you're not, everything you're saying is true, right? I get what you're saying. And I don't blame Brandon Bean for not calling him, right? Like, I get it. I do blame him for not, for releasing, thinking they would be able to get Ingram through. I do blame him for that.
That I will give you. I think that there are other places that you could have potentially made the sacrifice there. Now, I could understand the counterpoint to that is, what, now you're going to have an extra depth person in as a cornerback and then lose like net loss at a different positional, you know, field. But it doesn't mean you have to lose somebody on defense. You could have lost a special team or you could have lost an offensive player. Like it's a bad situation no matter what when you have a lot of roster guys. Or a lot of bubble guys. But Jamarcus Ingram has been a healthy scratch for the better part of the last half of this season. Like, I don't think it's so far-fetched for someone who is right on the bubble there and someone who is in the same positional group of the person that you're claiming to be like, listen, man, we are going to release you. We are hoping for everything that you are going to be able to clear waivers and we can sign you back to the practice squad and we'd love to have you back in the building. And then it gets claimed by the Texans.
Okay, but, see, like, but here's okay, the thing. Like, that's gonna happen. Look, you're defending the GM and that's fine because you love defending the man. Like every time we have these shins, like you're that guy. You got, like when the teacher was like sick, I hope she's okay. I hope that she comes back tomorrow and she's okay. You guys want to write a card and be like, hey, all. Is it? Are you gonna be okay?
I literally had a conversation with my sister.
You want to go? You want to go to her house to make sure she's
improving? How I would pray for a substitute in second grade every single day.
A pray.
Okay, so I'm not that guy. Uh-huh. I'm gonna fight the man. I'm gonna eat the rich, baby. I'm not trying to.
No, I believe you're gonna eat the rich, but not out of any like protest.
Got him. I walked right into that.
Yes, you did. Well, no, slowly.
I'm not defending Brandon Bean just because he's a person of authority or because I'm trying to kiss his rear end. Uh-huh. I'm doing that because, like, I genuinely think that, like, I don't blame him at all. He tried to make a move that was going to make the team better, and then it didn't work out. What are you going to do?
I don't think Darius Slay makes the team better. You got to teach him the defense. He's a veteran. He's not dressing in that other city for a reason. He doesn't play special teams. He's not going to play special teams at that age. I mean, Ingram has a history with this team. I don't know that Ingram is a downgrade from Darius Slay. The move made no sense at all. So, like, the way everything works out, look, I don't blame Bean for not making the call. I agree with you. He wants to go play in another city. That is the impression that the Bills get fine. I do blame him for bringing in a guy that I do not think would have performed any better than the homegrown guy. I mean, that means something to those guys in that room, man. You can sit here and say it's just a business. That guy did everything you asked. He is a kid from UB. You have sung his praises, and now he's in Houston. And ideally, he gets released from Houston, and the Bills have the opportunity to claim him again. Whatever. But we are getting off topic.
Yeah.
Because this is, by my count, the fourth player, name player, that was on the Bills roster that never played a game for the Buffalo Bills. And I would like to present to you the all never played a game for the Bills team.
Okay.
All right, because when I say this out loud, taking Darius Slay out of it, the conversation we just had, on the roster, never plays it down for the Bills. The next one that pops in your head would be what?
Next one that pops in my head would be Anquan Boldin,
okay,
wide receiver.
So for those who forget, it was Sean McDermott's first year? Second? Was it Josh Allen?
It was either McDermott's first year or the final Rex Ryan.
I think it was a Sean McDermott thing. You want to check out, just make sure we got it all together while you're over there. So Anquan Boldin signs late in training camp. He's a free agent, and I remember this, man. I was putting my daughter to bed when the news broke that Anquan Boldin was coming to Buffalo, and I was over the freaking moon. Because I think people forget how dominant Anquan Boldin was at one point in this league. Like, he's that big body receiver that we need, you know, snow and ice. He's a veteran. He's going to lead this team. He's going to show guys how to win. What did he make it? 48 hours? Did he even practice? Did he show up at all to training camp?
It was August 7th, 2017. So it was McDermott's first year that Boldin signed a 1-year contract for the Bills, with the Bills. He appeared in a preseason loss to the Eagles.
Did he play? No, he didn't play in it.
He appeared in a preseason loss to the Eagles, catching one pass for 5 yards.
I don't remember that.
On August 20th, less than 2 weeks after joining the team, Boldin abruptly retired, saying his life's purpose is bigger than football, and he intended on focusing on humanitarian work.
Okay, so Anquan Boldin never plays a game for the Bills. Is that more embarrassing or less embarrassing than what happened with Darius Slay?
I think that is less embarrassing, because at that point, that was 2017, and Anquan Boldin joined entered the NFL in 2010. So maybe it's on the same. No, I would say it's less, because Boldin signs as a free agent, chose to come to Buffalo, and then after playing a game decided to hang it up. So to me, that's more of an indictment on, or not even an indictment. That's more like inward to him of like, listen, I just don't have it, or I just don't want to be here, whatever the case. That's not me being like, oh, I thought this was going to go a different way, so I'm just not going to show up. Okay. Or like, oh, it's too cold up there, because Pittsburgh and Philadelphia have such a better climate. You liar. You're such a liar.
Well, Detroit plays inside a dome, so you got to climb it there, and Philly's like his second home, right? So I understand that, although
you
still
have to travel to the stadium, Darius. Don't give me that Ford Field indoor garbage. You have to play once a year in Soldier Field. You have to play once a year in Lambeau Field. Don't tell me this, oh, it's so cold up in Buffalo. It's historically colder in Green Bay that you had to play at every single year. Same with Chicago. So don't miss me with that.
Oh, you're not up with the miss me with that. You're almost 40. All right, so you're more bothered by Darius Slay.
I'm 40. What's that? I'm almost 38.
Okay, so you're more upset by Darius Slay. All right, let's get to the second nominee for the All Bills Never Played a Game team. Tight end, O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard.
Back in 2020.
Big time free agency acquisition.
It was. Back in 2022, the Bills signed O.J. Howard to a 1-year, $3.5 million contract, $3.2 million of that guaranteed. He had had success in Cincinnati. I believe he won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I was going to say, he was bringing in a championship mentality.
And this was the guy they brought in behind Dawson Knox. Dawson Knox had, you know, broken out as a legitimate tight end of the NFL. It was going to be a 1-2 punch of those two guys. And own an OJ Howard Bills jersey, and not like one that I bought overseas. Like, it's an official Nike OJ Howard Bills. They made them. They made them. That's how sure they were that OJ Howard was going to be somebody on this team.
Dude, that's not impressive. Maybe I get this is what, 2022.
Yeah,
I think this was still the policy at this point. But you can go on Fanatics right now and buy a Ryan Vandermark jersey.
Oh no, 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 like, no, no!
You could buy a Tyron Gable jersey.
I bought it in person.
That's setting.
Yeah, no, shut up! Like, don't tell me about jerseys, man. I picked that off a rack and I paid for it with it in my hands. OJ Howard goes through training camp with the Bills. He was beat out for a roster spot by Tommy Sweeney and Quentin Morris. They guaranteed
Tommy Sweeney, if I recall.
Yeah. They guaranteed him $3.2 million. They had to pay him all of it, and they cut him before he played a game in the NFL. Or with the Buffalo Bills.
Hurt. I feel like he got hurt in the preseason or during camp at some point, and that like, put him a little bit behind. I could be making
Well, no, because he signed with the Texans right away and then ended up spending time with the Raiders the next season.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah,
I'm not saying they like released him with like an injury clause. I'm saying like during training, like to the reason, like part. Like, I could be wrong. Who even knows? I could be making that up.
All right. Is the OJ Howard situation more or less embarrassing than Darius Slay?
Embarrassing to who?
The team, the franchise, us as a fan base.
Less, no. Significantly less. OJ Howard did not make the team. He didn't make the team. He wanted to be on the team, and we said, OJ, really appreciate it. I swear this has nothing to do with your name or the potential legacy that it could have within Buffalo or maybe the greater American zeitgeist, but we're going to have to let you go.
OJ Howard, way more embarrassing than what just happened with Darius Slay.
No way.
Here's why.
No way. Why?
Here's why. Because not only did you allow him to take up a roster spot, anticipating him being the second tight end, which is important in this offense with, you know, Josh Allen and Sean McDermott and everybody, you paid him $3.2 million guaranteed to never play a game on your team. Like, he was willing to play. He wanted to be there. And he was so bad. He was not one of the top three tight ends amongst two undrafted free agents, if I'm not mistaken, on a Bills roster that desperately needed a second tight end. So desperate, in fact, that the next year they went and drafted Dalton Kincaid in the first freaking round, a first-round tight end. The O.J. Howard getting cut after training camp is way more embarrassing than Darius Slay. It is way more embarrassing than Anquan Boldin. It's the worst of the worst.
It's a miss as far as the front office is concerned, but I think more of the embarrassment lies on the OJ side than it does on the Buffalo Bills.
Why?
Side.
Well, he went cash a check. Who gives? I mean, like, if I'm him, oh no, I get $3.2 million for going on vacation to St. John Fisher.
I mean, I guess, but also too, like, I don't see it that way. I think of it like, oh, which also, by the way, like, the guy's a professional athlete. Like, okay, he's made money, good for him. And you're right, he's taken $3 million, you know, or whatever it was after New York State tax, like right on down to Tampa Bay or like wherever else, and being like, hey guys, I'm back, here we go, let's play. Like, great, like, you're getting paid, awesome. But I also think of it like, okay, you're like, you know what, I want to be here, I'm going to sign a contract, and I'm going to be the Bills primary weapon when it comes to tight end, and I'm going to try real hard and everything's going to be really good. And then it comes to the end of training camp where you come to final roster cutdown and there your name's not on the list. Like I'm sorry, like that's embarrassing. Like, not from a like the best intention front office of like, hey, you know, we've seen what this guy can do with another team, and we want to bring him in here. And then when he just doesn't cut the mustard, and like, that's embarrassing for him, not for the front office.
All right, there's one that is a technicality here, but I think it's the one that affects the history of the Buffalo Bills the most, because like the three guys we've talked about so far are at the end of their careers, right? Darius Slay is not going to do anything to have an effect on the history of the Bills. Anquan Boldin, the year that he signed, was not going to affect the history of the Bills. O.J. Howard, same thing.
No, yeah.
But there was one move that 100%, had it happened, would have changed everything we know about this team.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Come back.
Can I say it?
Go ahead.
It's that darn training camp mat that took out Kevin Cobb and forced EJ Manuel to be the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills in 2013. And if EJ Manuel had just a little bit more time to develop, we wouldn't even have to be having this conversation about how, like, what's it going to take for the Bills to win a Super Bowl, because we already would have had six of them.
That's not what I'm saying, but that is an interesting theory, and not even about the EJ Manuel part of it. So I had heard a story, and take it with a grain of salt, right?
Sure.
That the mat that ended Kevin Cobb's career, I mean, that's what did it, but he was having really bad post-concussion symptoms even before that had happened.
Mm.
Like, to the point where, like, in a scary way, and he's talked about this in interviews after, but he didn't talk about this specifically, where, like, he was having a hard time knowing where to go, like, direction-wise in Western New York. Like, it was, like, bad, like, forgetting where he lived kind of stuff.
Nah, man, that's terrible.
I forgot about Kevin Cobb.
I was trying to make a joke, and you had to bring it down.
Well, no, but I mean, it is an interesting thought. Like, if Kevin Cobb starts that season, how do you know Kevin Cobb doesn't perform well as a quarterback of the Buffalo Bills? We were having a run there, right? I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick came in as a veteran and all that stuff. All right, no. What I am talking about is the Antonio Brown trade.
Oh, sure.
I remember waking up one morning, overnight, and it blows up. Antonio Brown has been traded to the Buffalo Bills for a first-round pick and a whole bunch of other things from Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh was looking to unload him, and we went into the break room, and we talked all morning long about how Antonio Brown was Josh Allen's newest target. And this was the step forward they were taking after his second year, and this was going to be amazing, and look what's going to happen here. And Antonio Brown refused to come to Buffalo. He absolutely refused to do it. And the reason I include this is the deal was done. The deal was absolutely done. Right, they knew what was going. Brandon Bean and the general manager of the Steelers had this agreement finished, and thank goodness they didn't pull the trigger on it, because Antonio Brown would have refused to report. If Antonio Brown gets a contract that he likes and decides to show up to Buffalo, we never see the Josh Allen that we see today.
I agree. I completely agree. Like, because as much there's a whole other, like, path that we can go down here to, like, back up my point. But I think that just from a team dynamic perspective, we're not seeing the Josh Allen that, like, it's a different timeline entirely.
Well, bro, I mean, let's look at what happened in, where were they? Oakland? I don't even know where the Raiders were.
They were in Oakland. Okay. Yeah, they were in Oakland.
So, like, you know, Antonio Brown ends up getting dealt to Oakland. He becomes a complete psychopath, never plays a game for the Raiders, gets himself traded in New England. Then all the crime stuff happens where he ends up getting suspended. He lives in Tom Brady's house with his wife and kids. Meanwhile, at this moment, he is in jail for attempted murder, and that there's a whole bunch of stuff that we all remember missing right in between those two things. But the point I'm making is, Ryan, he destroys this team from the inside out. And I know we give a lot of crap to Stephon Diggs, who we're seeing again this week, about, you know, the cancer that he was inside the room at the end. But, like, you don't get – I mean, that guy's 10 tumors on a giant tumor walking into your locker room at that time, right?
Yeah, that I think is the biggest dodged bullet in Buffalo Bills franchise history. Truly, I really do think that, because maybe not franchise, but definitely, like, as far as the regime is concerned.
Oh no, I would argue it might be franchise history, because let's walk through this. If he shows up in Buffalo, Josh is not the quarterback right now. Sean McDermott gets fired. Brandon Bean gets fired for pulling the trigger on that deal. It's a complete unmitigated disaster, because if the deal goes through, you do not get Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs was the plan B after Antonio Brown bailed. So you would have had that money on the books you had to pay for. You would have lost the assets that you had sent to Pittsburgh, just like Oakland did with that whole situation. You would not have had the player that Stephon Diggs or Antonio Brown was to bring Josh to that next level. It would have been a – I mean, think about – that was the playoff year in Houston. They went to Houston. No, that was the year after.
2019. That was it.
Wait, Stephon Diggs was on that roster?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, he was 2020. Sorry. I thought that was the – yeah, sorry.
No. So, I mean, that's the year they win the division for the first time.
Yeah.
Ryan, everything is 100% different. Who the hell knows who the quarterback is, who the coach is? Who knows how many coaches, GMs, quarterbacks we've ripped through from that point until now if Antonio Brown signs, shows up in Buffalo?
Yeah, for sure. It is an alternate 1985 where Biff Tannen has completely taken over Hill Valley and he's running an completely illegal gambling situation because he is the police. If you look at it, what happened in Oakland, like I think for different reasons, but I think it would have come down to it at the end of the day. Head coach John Gruden is no longer with the team. GM at the time, Mike Mayock, is no longer with the team. There is no doubt that what we know as the Buffalo Bills today would not exist had Antonio Brown not, thankfully, in hindsight, said two words on social media to pour ice water all over the whole thing, which was fake news. He said it was fake news, and everyone was like, oh, okay, got it. When the reality was, just like you said, they were the Steelers and the Bills were very close to a deal.
No, it was done. The deal was done.
Got it. But then as soon as Antonio Brown is like, no, that's not true, everyone was like, actually, no, never mind. Sorry. Whether that was the Steelers pulling it back or the Bills being like, actually, no, we're good, which I would love to know at some point in the future. When Brandon Bean retires, I would love to pose that question to him and see what he would divulge.
But I love how you think you're going to be in a room with Brandon Bean at some point. Like, you know, I'd love to ask him when I follow him home and corner him on his front step, what the real situation was with the Antonio Brown trade.
Hey, Brandon, first time, long time, always, love you. What happened when you were talking with Antonio Brown and his agent, and why haven't you returned my calls?
We're going to find out what's making Ryan sad. I would argue standing on Brandon Bean's front step makes him pretty sad.
Or romantic.
No, and we've seen an unbelievable amount of end of the stadium merchandise that has shown up. We got t-shirts, we got hats. I want to talk, don't let me forget about the trading cards. Have you seen these?
No, I haven't.
Okay, we'll get to that. But this product that was announced today as we tape this show is the stupidest, grossest.
It's all over.
Least necessary thing I have ever.
It's all over.
It doesn't get dumber than this. It does not. And we'll talk all about it next. Let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey. Yeah, we beat your podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Forgetteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
I hate that this is going to sell out immediately.
What? Don't ever discredit how dumb people are.
I know, but the fact that we both have this take maybe means that we're wrong. Two guys having the same take means one of us is wrong here.
No.
And that means both of us are wrong.
It means that we're both super right.
So let's go Duffalo the Odyssey app. Maybe we get your podcast. We will get to that story in just a second, but it's about that time, everybody. We're going to figure out what is making Ryan sad.
Oh, man. I mean, I can't be very sad after the outcome of the game with the Bengals on Sunday. You know, it was exciting. It was exhilarating. But I will say I'm a bit sad that we have, as a show, as a company, you and I, that we've had quite the dip in merchandise sales recently. As far as
are you doing a we're talking about a stupid product.
As far as the Let's Go Duffalo
and you're
shop
doing
is concerned,
a commercial.
We've had quite the dip in sales.
Why? What? We had
honestly,
seven.
I blame myself, you know, because the way that we had everything set up, it didn't have a user friendly path to get there. And there wasn't, curated items tested and proven to be valuable to people.
No, why? I mean, why would they not want to buy products from a show for a guy who can't figure out how to use his microphone? Doesn't sound like a monster coming out of a kid's closet.
Is it really that bad?
No, like, it's not fine.
Anything different.
But it's not fine.
Either way.
Give me a better page now.
You turn the page, you wash your hands. However, all that sadness is now right looking at us
in the
rear view.
Shut up.
Because if you go to the all new letsgoduffalo.com, you're going to find a whole bunch of awesome Let's Go Duffalo products available for you to purchase.
Oh my God.
And what?
I'm looking at it now. There's five things.
There's five things.
This is a stupid.
Hey, listen.
Nobody buy anything. Nobody buy a damn thing. Nobody buy anything from this website.
First of all, I just for what it's worth, we're not making any money on this. This is not what.
Yeah, because for us to make money, people need to buy things.
No, I'm trying to hear. Well, here's the deal, Pat. You're not running the Instagram page, okay? You're not the one fielding the questions of people of like, where's my order? What's going on with
fielding
this?
The questions? We don't have. Fielding questions like, who are you and why are you in my house?
Why is this? Why? Please stop contacting me. Brandon Bean. Sincerely, Brandon Bean. People were asking for it. I took the initiative as the executive producer of this show to be like, you know what? I'm going to make the process a little bit easier for people. So instead of going to some crazy, like, long string URL text where you're going to go and put your faith in a different company, like, who were we working with before, which are very kind.
Nobody cares. But okay, look, nobody buy anything. I'm serious.
Now, don't buy anything. I don't care. Just go check it out.
No,
let's go duffalo.com.
Do not go to that website.
We own the domain, baby. We own it.
You own it. And it's, Brian, I'm on the website right now. It's the most basic website from like 1997. It's got five products, one of which is just a picture, a mug with a picture of your face that says sad on it. And when in reality, the entire website should just say sad across the front of it. I am so ashamed.
As the owner of letsgoduffalo.com, I can make that happen. And maybe I will. Maybe I'll make a little landing page that makes fun of you and your stupid face and your stupid eyebrows.
Four people are going to see it.
Just saying. I was sad, but not anymore, because now we own part of the internet, baby.
You do realize the irony of pitching your crappy-ass idea, business-wise, and then us transitioning into this discussion.
I am not ironic in any capacity, okay? I'm all business all day tough.
All right, so as we know with the final season at the old Highmark Stadium, the Bills, the NFL, the city of Buffalo has been doing everything they can to monetize the goodbye. And it started earlier in the season with patches on the jerseys.
What chills, right? Like, how shameless are people?
Wait, what are you talking about?
What a bunch of shills that would just kind of hawk that kind of stuff.
Shut up.
Like, completely, like, don't you have any respect for yourself?
If you've been in the Bills shop, you have seen the pins, you have seen the stickers, you have seen the patches, you have seen the hats, you have seen the sweatshirts, you've seen the t-shirts, and that stuff is pretty standard. Ryan is currently holding his end of year, what would you call that, a goblet?
Let's go Buffalo Beer Stein.
Okay.
Is what it is, that has a picture, a whole engraving of the stadium on the top of it.
And look, I'm not above it. I've gotten some things, right? And we talked last week. We're buying, I'm buying my seat. You got seats. Could you find a squeakier chair, for Christ's sake?
No, I can't.
It's like you're sitting on a garbage can from Brooklyn in the 1950s.
This is the squeakiest chair of all time. What's funny, too, I was at Costco a couple weekends ago, and they had a really nice, comfortable Lazy Boy chair. And I told my wife, like, I'm going to buy this. She goes, you have a chair. And I'm like, you know how bad that chair is. Like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And now everyone's got to deal with the chair. So everyone contact my wife if you're mad about it. The chair.
The newest product that the Bills have gotten together on the end of the stadium is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. It is called Blizzard Brew.
Blizzard Brew.
Bud Light has partnered with the Bills to make beer from the snow inside Highmark Stadium. And I'm going to read.
Yeah, and it doesn't tell you where from. It just says from inside Highmark Stadium.
So I want to read this just to make sure everybody understands before we break this down. You ready? This is a press release from the Bills and Bud Light. Quote. Following the first snowfall at Highmark Stadium earlier this season, Bud Light and the Bills joined forces to collect the snow and transport it to Anheuser-Busch's brewery in Baldwinsville. There was snow integrated into the brewing process to create a limited edition brew that will be included in custom 16-ounce cans and packaging. The Blizzard Brew will be available at participating retailers in the Buffalo area and wherever Bills Mafia enjoys their final regular season home game. Andre Reed, who played 15 seasons with the franchise, will join Bud Light at Highmark Stadium during the final home game to help commemorate the stadium with a Blizzard Brew. It's beer with snow from the stadium. And the can is white, and it's got the Farewell Season logo on the top of it, and it said Buzz Light.
It says Buzz Light.
Whatever, Bud Light.
Buzz Lightyear.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I just heard you pitch our website.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. I will say, the can looks flashy. The can looks nice. It's got that old, early 90s before it went to like the, what I call like the slug logo for Bud Light, where it was that like little swooshy and it was like a different color blue. It looked like the Sabre slug uniform.
I hate you.
It's got a nice nostalgia look to it. The can does. This is ridiculous. I can't imagine why I would want something like this.
It's going to sell out immediately. It's going to sell out immediately.
Right. And honestly, if I see some at Tops, I'm going to buy it.
Why? Like, Why are you going to buy it? Why?
Because I'm a moron, Pat. God. Because I'm an idiot. That's why. And because my lizard brain sees Bud Light and a Bills logo and any kind of like deviation from a variant of a can that has the Bills on it. Oh my God, I need to have it now. I am the biggest sucker when it comes to that kind of stuff. I know that I'm not alone, but what makes the difference between me and all the other shills out there and idiots is that I'm willing to admit it.
No, but that makes you dumber because you know it does.
I'm smarter. No, I'm smarter than the dumbers. I'm not going to seek it out.
Yes, you are.
I'm not going to do that. I will not seek it out. However, if presented with the opportunity to pick some up and not wait in line, I'm also not waiting in line. I would not be opposed to buying it.
Right.
But it's a dumb idea until I decide to buy it for myself. And at that point, it's a great idea.
Here's what I don't get. Did they like put out a bucket and collect the snow from inside the stadium? Because if that's the case, the snow's not actually from inside the stadium. But counterpoint, if they shoveled the snow off of the ground of the stadium, this is the most disgusting idea. There is not a part of that stadium where you could pay me enough money to put my tongue on it. Like, seriously, name one part of any part of Highmark. Highmark, I'll give you $1,000 if you put your tongue right here. No, none of the part.
Yeah, none parts, please. Is the final answer. I will say though, like even if this is obviously a gimmick, right? Like it's
are you asking if the beer made by snow in a stadium is a gimmick? I don't know, Ryan. What do you think the listeners think?
It is Kiss the band pouring their blood into the comic book ink and having all of the Kiss comics have Gene Simmons's blood in it. Okay, it's a gimmick. However, I'm not so worried about the germs. Although I think the germs from Highmark Stadium are in a class all of their own. Obviously, any kind of water that's going to be used in any kind of like process for beer making or anything that's going to be consumed is going to be distilled and disinfected.
Yeah, obviously.
And all of that
but here's the thing: you talk about the bacteria inside that stadium. If anything's going to survive, if any kind of bacteria, it's going to be that stadium bacteria. Like you're going to have multiple cans with holes that bacteria have eaten through leaking onto the floor of Wegmans and Tops and all the other grocery stores.
Right. It's gonna like sprout arms and legs and start doing the moonwalk or something.
It's gonna sound like you doing the show. Oh, go give me a beer first now.
Just like that. Yeah. But it's gonna be a beer and it's gonna sing the Isley Brothers.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in Bill's Mafia that it's come to this.
Why are you? Don't be disappointed in Bill's Mafia.
No, I am. Because
capitalism.
No. But I mean, they wouldn't make it if people weren't going to go buy it out immediately. And here's the other thing that's going to bother me. This is not going to be like if this was just like a week long thing, 2 week long thing. That's one thing. Fine, we can get past it. This will be a thing for the next 50 years because people are going to buy this. A lot of people are going to buy it to hold on to it, anticipating that it will go up in value, which it will not. That is not going to happen. Your Flutie Flakes aren't worth anything. Your Josh Jacks aren't worth anything. The football cards from McDonald's that they gave you in 1992 with a Happy Meal are not worth anything. None of it's
the ones with the perforated edges?
That's what I'm saying. They're not worth anything. Yeah. They are not worth anything. And neither will this beer be worth anything 50 years from now.
Telling me the two sauces that I have that have Josh Allen's name on it that are clearly separated and well past their expiration date are worth nothing?
I believe they are worth nothing, believe it or not.
Terrible.
Okay. We are cutting this one short so we have enough time to fully get into this Patriots game because this is the biggest game of the season thus far. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I will say this as a tease. I have never been more confident in my life that the Bills are going to win a game on Sunday.
Oh, boy.
Let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Know why we need to play this game on Sunday, to be completely honest with you.
Really?
I have never been more confident in my life that the Bills are going to win a football game than I am about this game on Sunday.
Oh, boy.
So let's go, Duff. Will you stop doing that?
Ooh.
Let's go, Duff. Follow the Odyssey. Everybody with your podcast. All right. I'm not going to bury the lead. Your Buffalo Bills are currently 1.5-point favorites on the road against a team with 11 wins that is leading their division that beat them earlier this year in the New England Patriots.
Yep.
Stephon Diggs was asked about that this week or today as we taped the show, and he said, good. Yeah, you know, we've been the underdogs all year, says man who everybody, they've been nobbing that team. For the last 2 months.
Say what?
Even though
you're really going hard in the paint there, buddy.
So, you know, fun fact, something I discovered this week I did not know. Do you know Drake May in the 2 years he's played in the NFL has never thrown for 300 yards?
In a single game?
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, he's thrown for 300 yards cumulative. You idiot. Wow, maximum game, 17 yards.
You know Drake May is actually cross-eyed. He's never actually thrown a football before.
All right. There are lots of Bills fans that have resigned themselves to a wild card position. Are you one of those Bills fans right now?
Resigned would mean that, like, oh, well, gee willikers, I guess we're going to have that. Like, in that case, like,
let me try.
I'm more of a realist.
Let me back.
I think the Bills, if they play in the postseason, are going to be a wild card team. Yeah.
Okay. So the Bills, the path to the division is a lot easier than people think. And I'm going to lay it out for you right now. All right.
Do tell.
So after that game against Cincinnati, I am also confident the Bills are not losing again in the regular season. That is not going to happen.
Okay.
But you need the Patriots to lose three games out of their final four. And yep. Here's how this works out.
Okay.
The Bills are going to beat them in Foxborough on Sunday. That is going to happen. 1 o'clock game. Bills win.
Got to happen.
The Patriots then see the Ravens the next week.
Yep.
And the Ravens, despite their issues, are a formidable team with a decent defense.
They can be. They okay. can be. They haven't of late, but they can be.
The only team the Patriots that have beaten in the last 9 weeks in their 9-game winning streak that is currently in a playoff spot are the Buffalo Bills. And I would argue the Bills handed them that game on a silver platter in Orchard Park. So that's one.
Yeah. God, I wish I could have that game back. Like, I appreciate the Bills, like December playing, like, because historically the Bills are really good in December and go into the end of the season humming. Mm-hmm. But God, oh man, I wish I could have that game back.
All right. So them losing to the Ravens is not out of the question. In fact, I would like to see I would bet you the Ravens might be favored depending on what happens this weekend with both of these teams. Then you have two games left. One against
just to that point, they're in Baltimore for that game.
Yeah, that's you gotta not go on the road. Game, yes. So. And then you have the Jets and the Dolphins. Now I understand that the Jets and the Dolphins are not great teams right now.
Yep.
First off, they both have the opportunity to play spoiler in a divisional game. But I know you don't have a lot of faith in the Jets. They're going to be starting their third quarterback of the season this year. That's fine. Let's talk about Miami on the last game of the season.
Yeah.
The Dolphins won a couple of games recently.
Sure have.
The Dolphins have absolutely nothing to lose. But Mike McDaniel all of a sudden is coaching for his job again because the guarantee that he will be fired is no longer there. And I would like to illustrate, this Patriots team is a young team. They got a lot of young players, and they have not dealt with any adversity throughout this season. If you lose to the Bills and you open that door back up again, that Ravens game becomes a little bit harder. And if you lose to the Ravens, which again is a possibility, all of a sudden winning two games for the division becomes a harder, much harder task. Much harder task. It's an 11% chance, according to ESPN, Vegas, whatever, that the Bills win the division. But 1% gives us a chance to win the division. I think it happens. And I'm not even saying, like, here's how I believe the Bills win the AFC East. I think this is going to happen.
Interesting. I admire your confidence. I don't think that it's outside of the realm of possibility. We saw it, granted, with a little bit different circumstance a few years back against the Bills and the Dolphins, and it coming down to that final week 17 game to claim the division. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. For me personally, there's just too many variables there that are outside of the Bills' control. I do think that the Bills can win out, and I obviously hope that they do. But it's not that simple for the Bills at this point. All the Patriots would have to do is win one of those divisional games, and that's all she wrote for the division.
You're talking about the Bills, Bills, Dolphins, and Jets.
Correct.
Yeah, but the Bills control the Bills game.
Oh, of course. I'm sorry.
So
when it comes to
variables they don't control, there are three games they don't control. Two of them need to go their way. It's not out of the question. It's not. And here's the thing, and I'll go further here. When you talk about odds and statistics and the way that NFL seasons work, the Patriots, I do not believe, are a great team. And I've said it all season, and everyone has been laughing at me as they keep winning. They're not beating good teams. You're going to stub your toe at some point. It's going to happen. Every team does it. That's why only one team has gone undefeated throughout an NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
They are due to stub their toe. And it would make sense that they stub their toe when the good teams show up and all of the cards are on the table.
Yeah, I think like one way or the other, we're obviously going to learn a lot about both of these teams going in on at 1 o'clock on Sunday. But like looking at the Patriots schedule throughout this season and the wins that they've had specifically, Carolina they beat handedly, Buffalo they beat by 3 points, New Orleans they beat by a touchdown, Tennessee was a sloshing, Cleveland sloshing, won by 1 point against the Falcons, which obviously beat the Bills, won by five, so a one score game against Tampa Bay, won by 13. Against the Jets, one possession against the Bengals, and then slammed the hapless Giants in Foxborough on Monday Night Football.
So what's your point?
My point is that, like, is agreeing with you that, like, it's not as if they've had the Bills win earlier in the season in week five was their cementing moment of, like, hey, we showed up and we beat a team. And granted, give it to them, man. They came into Buffalo during a primetime game and beat the Bills in their house on the road. See you later.
Bills, like, I'm not giving it to them. The Bills handed them that game. They came in and played like they played terribly. Like, they didn't beat the Bills. The Bills beat themselves. It is what it is. And you can have your take, and that's fine.
The Patriots won the game.
No, they didn't. They did not win that game. The Bills handed them that game, Ryan.
However you want to, justify it to yourself.
However you want to justify it.
Is that
Brandon Bean. I'm not sticking up for Brandon Bean on this one, guys.
My point is that if you look through all of the wins, the last 10 wins that they've had, with the exception of maybe Tampa Bay, but they've been on a skid. Atlanta goes back and forth all over the place. Carolina, when they played them in week four, was a complete, like, train wreck. I think that the Bills game is their monumental win, and I want to play them again, and I can't wait to play them again.
All right. We've been talking for too long, so we'll just end it right here. Ryan?
Okay.
The Bills are 1.5-point favorites in Foxborough. We know what this game means. We just broke it down. Do the Bills win, and if so, is it by 2 points or more?
I don't trust myself. Okay. So what's the line? You said it's 1.5?
Yes.
I'm taking the Patriots to win this one. And I take the and the Bills aren't going to cover.
Well, yeah, because the Patriots win. If the Patriots win, that's right.
That's how gambling works.
How have you?
Hey, man, I don't care that I don't know how gambling works. I'm actually thrilled.
We've done this every week for like 4 years, and you still don't understand.
You obviously
don't listen to this thing at all. Because if you did, you would hear yourself just like blah blah blah. And you'd fix it, but you don't. You don't.
No. I'm going to do me, and you shut up.
These are two very different teams. The Bills' defense, I believe, has improved since they've seen the Patriots the last time. The Patriots' defense, on the other hand, has not improved. Injuries mean the Bills are going to be able to run the ball a hell of a lot better than they did. And the Bills have decided to legitimately commit to the run in the back end of this season for some reason, however long it took.
That's another thing, man. Like, if you look
at... So here we go again.
Shut up. I'm not changing my position here, but, like, if you look back at that Week 5 game offensively, like, the Bills were just, like, they were forcing things in a way that, like, that weren't conducive for whatever reason.
That's weird, because I had argued that they handed him the game, and you just said the Patriots beat him.
I said the Patriots won the game, and they did. Mm-hmm. They won the game.
Because the Bills handed it to them. Look, all right. I made a prediction last week that everything going against the Bills in this Bengals game, statistically and whatever, was the reason I was picking the Bills to win this game, because the NFL is so upside down and backwards, and nobody knows anything. And how about your Colts all of a sudden, bud? What happened there?
Yikes.
Colts bad.
They were bad before Daniel Jones got hurt. Yeah, I hand up on that one. I think, like yeah, you were right. I think, like, the whatever, you were right with that. And I was going to say that obviously because of the Daniel Jones injury, they're bad, but they were on quite a skid prior to that. Dude, like, what a nightmare. What a freaking nightmare for the Indianapolis Colts. Philip Rivers, a grandfather.
Fat Philip Rivers. Did you see how fat he got? How fat his face is?
The one reporter was like, how much do you weigh? And you're a jerk to me. You've never asked me that question. Like, some guy who works for the media goes to brand new hire Philip Rivers and says, Phil, what are you weighing in now?
Bro.
And Philip Rivers goes, I don't know.
It's a fair question. It looks like his face.
You know, Philip.
His face looks like he was stung by 1,000 bees. Like, it's just.
Dude, he's a grandfather.
So maybe.
Metabolism slows down.
No, I understand. So maybe if that's the case, don't sign up to be an NFL quarterback again, Philip Rivers. All right, getting back to the game.
No, that's not on him. That's on.
No, it's on him. He has to sign the contract. Ballard. No. All right, look.
That's on Chris Ballard.
Because the NFL is so upside down. Because this season cannot get anything right straight moving forward, because nobody is good, nobody is bad, everyone is good, everyone is bad. Despite the fact that the Patriots are the hot team in the NFL right now, despite the fact that they are coming off a bye week, which is usually a suicide mission for a team traveling on the road, The Bills are going to win this game. And they are going to cover they're going to cover that point and a half, obviously, because it's 1.5 there. The Bills beat the Patriots in Foxborough on a consistent basis. The Patriots beat the Bills in Foxborough on a consistent basis. Rosters don't matter. Records don't matter. It's a divisional game. The Bills are battle-tested. The Patriots are not. The Bills have more talent on this roster than the Patriots do. I firmly believe in the conkles of my heart that Sean McDermott is a better coach than Mike Vrabel is. I think Mike Vrabel is all smoke, no fire. I think McDermott is all fire, no smoke.
I think I'm going to talk like I'm doing a voiceover.
I'm losing my voice. I'm losing my voice. What are you talking about? You were doing inspirational talk a second ago.
And it's about grit. It's not about how hard you get hit. It's how you keep going forward. You got to keep going forward.
I can't tell if you're doing an impression or that's just your microphone, how bad it sounds.
Hey, column A, column B.
I've been waiting for this game since the moment the clock struck zero in Orchard Park on that stupid game. And we're not wearing those stupid jerseys. So for that reason, the Bills are winning this game. The Bills are winning this game. And it's going to be glorious come Monday morning when we get to see Patriots fans realize, wait a minute, the division is not locked up. And when they start to run through those scenarios in their head. And when Stephon Diggs has something to say, when Drake May doesn't deliver. By the way, Stephon Diggs' numbers have fallen off the last month.
He is the leading receiver for the New England Patriots. Do you know his season receiving total so far?
497.
Oh, no, you're way off. What? 705 yards.
Okay. All right.
705 yards. But compared to the Bills, like, the receiving total, like, it's Khalil Shakir is the leading receiver for the Bills at 585, followed by Kincaid at 489, who has missed three games, half the season, by the way.
Yeah.
Keon Coleman at 355. Like, there's this pretty significant drop off. You want to say that the Patriots have, like, a standout in Stephon Diggs? Like, he's got three touchdowns on the season and 705. He might end up going for 1,000 on the year, like, maybe.
They're
going to
need him to win the division. I mean, look, if you're going to win the division, you need him to get 1,000 yards. And that means he would have to average, what, 80 yards a game over the last four games?
Yeah. Yeah. So, give or take.
More than that. All right. Bills win. You heard it here first. So let's go home.
I'm home.
Shut up. Yeah. Thank God, because I'm done with you. All right. We will see you here Monday morning as we sketch out even more so the path the Bills will take to win the AFC East for a sixth consecutive year. And all you people that are waiting to buy wildcard tickets because they are on sale right now and they did not sell out, you're going to kick yourself. I'm telling you right now, you could have had them when everybody wanted them. Nobody wanted them.
Come on out to the Bill Gray's Tap Room in Chi-Lai on Sunday at 1 o'clock for the game. I'll be there repping the break room for the WCMF home field advantage. So come on up and say hi. And follow us on Instagram, on TikTok, and YouTube. At let's.go.duffalo and let's go duffalo.com.
Shut
I gotta
up.
Work on that delivery.
No, don't. All right. His name's Ryan Duffy.
A lot of dots and Duffalo.
I'm done. We're done. My name's Pat Duffy. Before we go, one more time.
Go.
Shut up. We're done. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.